It's in Africa. Well done.
There you go.
You get a prize.
Yep.
What else do you know about Zimbabwe? Yes? Very good. It's in the south. Well done. Yes. You too. Well done. That's incredible. Anyone else know anything about Zimbabwe? It used to be called the breadbasket of Africa. It used to provide for many other nations in Africa, but it's just since independence in 1980, I'm not being political in any way, shape or form, but it just, the mismanagement and the corruption, sadly, it's just in a terrible state. So yeah, there's at least 95% unemployment. And the country is kept going by Zimbabweans in the diaspora that are sending money back and working 2-3 jobs to send money back. Do we have any Zimbabweans here? No? Okay. But so Zimbabwe is just kept going by people working in the diaspora. And then the next, if you click it again twice, please, my love. 4 out of 5 are below the poverty line. But that's not what we would consider the poverty line. That's their poverty line. And that would be one meal or less a day. Bread, milk, eggs, things like that are luxury items. So their one meal a day would be sudza, which is a maize from corn, and it's crushed down, and they make a pap. And chamoria, which is God's gift to Africa. It's in the spinach family, and it grows anywhere with very little water. And that's what most people would survive on, one meal or less a day of that. And then 1 in 3 are HIV positive, but actually it's probably higher than that. Botswana, we're second to Botswana, who's the highest pro rata in the world, but that's because Botswana keep much better records than Zimbabwe. So you'll see in Zimbabwe there's a whole generation wiped out because of HIV. So all the grannies here, all the grandmas in Zimbabwe, you would be looking after your grandchildren. And that's what we see all over, because this generation has been wiped out because of HIV, and it's, things are not changing. The behaviour is not changing, and it's only getting worse. And you just hear of deaths daily, TB, all sorts of things. HIV is still very much a taboo subject, so it's still not talked about, but people are dying daily of preventable health issues. Okay, and the next one, please. This is the bond. This is the bond note. This is the money in Zimbabwe. We walk around with wadges of money. So when it was introduced, probably about 2 years ago, this 20 bond note was worth $20. We did go to the US dollar for a while, but it's very difficult for the government to print US dollars. So they could print their own. So this would have been 1-to-1. Now this is less. This is worth 0.03 of a US dollar. It's better to use it as toilet paper than to buy the toilet paper. The inflation is just incredible. And now, for the first time in my 18 years, the inflation in real money in US dollars is just jumping. So it's a mixture of, obviously, the war in Iraq saw the, Ukraine, saw the fuel prices go up, but we've got added to that corruption, greed, and ignorance. So prices are just going up in real money, and it's hitting us hard. It's hitting the ministry, because it just shouldn't go up in these numbers. I'll give you an example. We have inspections on our new house, and it used to be $50, and they went up to $200. Well, that's 300%. I mean, how can you live like that? Bread used to be about 60 cents a loaf. It's now double, $1.20. And you consider that people are very lucky if they get $10 a day. Yet the food prices are the same as here. So inflation is having a devastating effect on the country of Zimbabwe. The next one, please. But God loves Zimbabwe! Yay! And we see his love on a daily basis. I'm so glad we sung that song because that's our truth. Great is thy faithfulness. We have seen the faithfulness of God in amazing ways. I just want to start by telling you a little bit about my story. And the reason I stayed in Zimbabwe for so long, I went there for 6 months thinking that I'd probably travel around the world and raise money. I fell in love. But not with a man, not with a woman. Hang on, be careful. I fell in love with, you'll see next slide. I fell in love with Grace. I was on a tourist visa. My friend was looking for her child number four. She just happened to say to me, Jenny, come on, let's go to the hospital. And there's a baby. I want to go and see whether or not, you know, she's the one for me. So I went with her. I accompanied her. Debbie took one look at her and said, no, I don't think she's mine. I took one look at her and said, this is my little girl. But I knew I couldn't take her. I was a tourist. Even if I got a work permit, I couldn't. But God made a way. And then the next slide, I want you to meet Thomas. I met Thomas. He's a real Christmas story. I met him on Christmas Eve. I used to go regularly into the hospital. They actually, my staff now don't let me go into the hospital anymore because I come out with children. So I went in the hospital and we were there to see another child. And just on the way out, I just happened. Does anything just happen by chance, I wonder? I just happened to turn around and I saw this child sitting in a cot, and he was in a big duffel coat that was too big for him, and he was sitting like this, so miserable, and no one was with him. And in the hospital, if no one's with you, I mean, you just don't get the care. The nurses aren't really bothered. And I just felt compelled to go back, and I got a doctor and I said, can you tell me about this little fella? And they said, he's been here 4 months and he's losing the will to live. He was absolutely starving. He got kwashiorkor. And this is 4 months after being in the hospital, being fed in the hospital. And you couldn't lift him up under his arms. There wasn't enough muscle. He had HIV. He was HIV positive, kwashiorkor. He had TB. And the doctors begged us to take him. And I was with the matron of the baby home, who we were working with at the time. And she said, he's too old for us. Now, we had set up a home, and I went and talked to the matron there. I was running it, so I could have insisted he went there. But she said, Jenny, we've already got children with special needs, but I don't think we can cope with another one. So I thought, well, I'll take him. And then you'll see, 18 months later, plenty of love, plenty of nutrition, and the difference. And we don't have an expensive, extravagant lifestyle, but just making sure he had the right thing. And then my third child that I took, you'll see the next picture, is Mary. I saw Mary in hospital again, and nobody wanted her. She had rickets. You can see her legs are deformed, all because she had no sunshine and no vitamin D in her diet. Totally preventable, but she couldn't walk. She had been abandoned as a baby in Mashringo, and then they'd sent her to Bulawayo when she was two to see what they could do about her legs. And on the doctor's notes, they just wrote, this child will never walk again. Well, she plays in the school football team, so they got that wrong. So Mary was brought to Bulawayo. She was waiting 8 months for an ambulance to take her back. The ambulance never came. thankfully for me. And Mary was on the ground floor. Normally, we just knew the children were on the third and second and first, and we didn't even know. And someone told me about Mary, and I just felt compelled to take her, to go down and look at her. And as soon as I saw her, I just knew I had to take this. So I just literally, I took her. It was back in the day. That was about 14 years ago when you didn't actually have to do everything properly through social welfare. So we took her, after about a week, I tried to get to know her a bit. She couldn't speak a word of English. I couldn't speak a word of Shona. And we took her in the cot, because her life was in the cot. She didn't know anything except this cot. And she could just put herself to sleep. She could just roll and put herself to sleep. So we took her out when she was sleeping. She woke up and she screamed. And I think she screamed for the first week in my house. And I thought, what have I done? But it's been amazing. And so here they are now. There's my three, looking fit and healthy and well. So that's just a little bit about my story. So I'm trying still to adopt them. But because I'm British and the situation between the Zimbabwe and the British isn't too good, so I still haven't adopted them. And Tom is turning 18 in January, so probably little chance to adopt. But even if I did, I couldn't get them a British passport because we're not in the Geneva Convention. But all of them have got my name. And every time I went to get their birth certificates, I did it one by one, and every time afterwards, they said, they should never have been given your name, Hensman. We don't want them to have an English name. But God made a way. So they've all got my name. So praise God, yeah. So let's move on. So our organization, Mind the Gap, our mission statement is to rescue and restore children by establishing families, instilling hope, and preparing them for the future. That's our aim. We haven't put anything specifically about the Lord in there, but that's interwoven in everything we do. It's totally interwoven that they get to know Jesus. That's so important. So the next one, please. So I just want to tell you a story of Jeffrey. And this is many years ago now, but it just epitomizes why we wanted to do these family homes. At first, I wanted to just support other organizations. I didn't intend to set up our own children's homes. But we were asked to start a home for some of the babies in the baby home, because Martin, who ran that project, his idea was that these children would get reunited with family members or fostered and adopted. But in Zimbabwe, I don't know what it's like in other African countries, but there's a thing about taking a child from another family because you don't know what spirits they're bringing. Even get mixed up in the Christian church, sadly. So not many people are prepared to adopt and foster. So there was a group of four-year-olds. So we were asked, would we set up a home? So we set up a home, and in our home, we had one space left. So we went to this orphanage to look for a child. Now, can you imagine looking for a child? You think, oh, my life. So we just prayed. We said, Lord, just please show us a child. So we went to this big orphanage, and the kids were coming and, you know, playing with us and think, oh, they're cute. And then I saw a child sitting alone. And I said to one of the helpers, oh, tell me about him. Now, she was trying to be helpful to me. And she said, don't bother with him. He's a real misery. He came in a bit older. And children who come in when they're older, when they're abandoned and older, find it much harder than children who are abandoned as babies. So they said, don't bother with him. He's terrible. And God said, he's the one. So we took Jeffrey, and within a week, the change in him, because instead of being one of 50 kids that was just left because he was seen as a problem, he suddenly had a mum and seven brothers and sisters in a family home that we'd set up. And he knew he was loved, and the difference that made. And that just assured my heart that this is what we've got to do. We've got to set up these small family units where these children can receive the love and attention that they so desperately need. Okay, please keep going to that, and then to the next slide. Thank you, dear. So we've had these two homes in the community, but I believe God gave me a vision to set up Harvest Family Village where we could still keep the ethos of having these family homes, but in a bigger setting on one piece of land so that we could keep our costs down and help more children. So we started Harvest Family Village, and that opened in about 2012. Thank you. And there's the farmhouse, the main farmhouse. It had a thatched roof on it, and we had to get rid of that because of health and safety, and put on a chroma deck house. And then we'll keep going, please, and you'll see. So this is one of the families. These are the newer ones. The girls on the outside are actually our older girls that had gone to support, but these are our newest ones. We've got some three-year-olds, and bless them. And then the next one you'll see, that's another of our homes. And then the next one is the other one. So we've got about 30 children at the moment in the village. And then you'll see the next one, please. We're building house number 4. And it's amazing. God's provision is just utterly incredible. Because the inflation, when we first got a price for this house in December, we were quoted $78,000. When we started the building about April, May, he said the price now is $130,000. That's what we're living with in Zimbabwe, the real inflation in real money. But God is providing, and it's incredible. And he doesn't provide loads and loads so that we can sit there and say, oh, well, we're fine for the next. He keeps us on our knees. He provides as we need. My motto is, we always have enough. We never have enough. We always have enough. We always can pay our staff on time. And if you look, I deal with all the money, and if I look at it on paper, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So I try not to look at it on paper. We always have enough to feed our kids, send them to school, but I say we never have enough because we want to develop and push, and we want to help more and more children because the needs are so great. The next one, please, my love. So we have lots of fun and games with the kids. All we want to do is give them normal family life. We don't want, you know, anything majorly special. We don't want to spoil them. They've got to, some of them will, you know, will go back into the community. We just want normal family life with memories, happy memories. Most of our children, I won't go into details, I'm sure you can imagine, have had some very awful things happen to them. And the healing comes as they talk amongst themselves. They talk to each other about it, and then in their homes, they have devotions every day. They've got to go to a local church, and there's a local church from town that come in once every 2 weeks and do Bible study and really deal with some of these issues. But our children are very, very damaged, but we are seeing God's hand of healing on our children, and it's just amazing. The next one, please. We're blessed with some lovely mothers and aunties, and we really pray that God sends us the right women, because the women are the key for these children. You know, they're key to these children's lives, and we don't just want them to sit there and let them, you know, we want them to be actively involved in their lives. So the lady standing in the middle at the back is our matron, and she's doing a wonderful job. So please pray for our mums, because it's not easy. We have a lot of issues. There's a lot of anger in some of our children because of what's happened to them. Please pray. Pray for our mums as they're dealing with these children. Pray for our children that they would be receptive to the Lord's healing. Thank you. And then it's so important. We've got this farm area, and it's so important that our children learn all the skills they need to survive. Whether or not they're going to go into agriculture, they need to know how to plant. They need to know how to raise a chicken, how to kill a chicken, pluck a chicken. I mean, I don't want to do a pluck a chicken. But they've got to know all this. They've got to be able to survive. And bless them. Our kids, they all do cooking on the rota. They all have to do most of their own washing, because it's so important in that culture that they know how to do it. We can't spoil them. We've seen other children from other homes that I think the staff are so worried about their jobs, they just do everything. But then the kids come out and they can't survive. So our kids have to be absolutely equipped to look after themselves. So they have to be involved. So these are some of the things we grow. Maize. We were so blessed. It wasn't a great rainy season last year, but God has blessed us. And we've grown enough maize to last us a whole year. And we've got enough to give away, because we support the community and for our animals as well. And we grow beans, we grow nuts, we grow all sorts. Down at the bottom, it looks like drugs, but it's not, I assure you. We don't grow, we're not growing drugs. It might be lucrative, but... So we're growing as much as we can. The next one, please, my love. And then we were donated this huge polytunnel. And we've already got lots of market gardens. And then the next slide you'll see inside. And all the kids get involved in the polytunnel. And when we've got a big order, we get the kids to come and help. And we're getting another greenhouse soon. So hopefully if we can get more greenhouses, we can become more and more self-sufficient. And in fact, Henry, who's the director, I'll show you Henry picture. Oh, he was earlier. He actually is the director of the village. And we had some visitors come yesterday, and he said, Jenny, I was so proud. We cooked them a meal from everything that was on their farm. Our chickens, our maize, our vegetables. So it's really good that we can really head towards self-sufficiency. The next one, please. And we involve the children in the planning. We don't just want to do to them and say, this is what we do. We often go and walk around with them, and I love walking around the village with them, and we talk about things. We talk about how can we help others. Because they go to school with their friends, and they're the lucky ones. Our kids take bread to school. Well, nobody else takes anything. So they want to share, and they know the need out there, and they want to help. So we talk about what can we do, how can we help others, how can we generate more meat, how can we generate more vegetables to help in our community. So it's lovely involving the kids in the planning. We've got a large rabbit house. That's Melonia. She's one of our older girls that's in our halfway house. She's gone into agriculture, so we have a big rabbit project that we're trying to really build up so that we've got lots of protein. And the next one, pigs, our pigs. Well, can I tell you about these wretched pigs? The kids don't want to eat them because they name them. And they say, we're not eating Betty. And I'm going, but... That's why we do them, so that we eat them. So we've had to compromise. We now have a little field for pet pigs. And they're the named ones, and the kids can look after them. And then we say, all the others, you are not naming. Otherwise, you don't eat any pork. It's quite funny, really. But can I tell you, pigs are so therapeutic. They are so therapeutic. They're more therapeutic than dogs, and we've got a particularly angry young lady, Precious, and she spends hours with those pigs, and I think the pigs love her. And pigs are very intelligent creatures. So, yeah, so it's been quite interesting navigating our way and things that you don't really think about. But so we're having pet areas for some of them. And it's good to share. As I said, we support our local community at Christmas. Here we go. We were taking some of our goats. This is to an old people's home. I mean, it's not often you turn up with a goat, is it? But they were very happy, and we took some animals and our vegetables to the old people's home and some children's home. And then the next picture you'll see, we go into our local community. We've got, the poverty is just extreme. So we try and help some of the worst families. We started a project just before COVID where we'd give kids bread and boiled eggs. And it was working well. We'd got the names of about 25 children. Well, after about 2 weeks, we had about 500 children turn up. And because of COVID, I mean, try and socially distance 500 children. It was impossible. And people driving past going, socially distance! So we had to stop it. And still we have to wear masks in Bulawayo, even though we've hardly got any COVID cases. I'm sure there's some political reason. But we hope soon to be able to start doing a meal at our local church so that kids can come. Because the problem is, when you take the food to the families, guess who eats it? The father. The father eats it. The father tends to eat it. I mean, some of them are single families, but if you take food, the father always gets the first share. So we would rather do meals for the kids and some of the ladies. So please pray that we'd have wisdom in how to do some of these things and develop what we can do in our community. Because we're on a massive learning curve. You know, I believe God gave us this vision called the Joseph Initiative, that we should grow and contain stuff to help people, but we need lots of wisdom in how to do it. Our children need a lot of help with learning. They have a lot of gaps because of their education, because of their early lives. They've missed out, so we have to employ teachers, tutors, and it's all expensive. And I'll be talking about the Christmas challenge. That's one thing that people could help us with. We really need help with our education. And the situation is just getting worse. I just wanted to give you a one picture of the latest family we went. Henry, who's the director of the village, he was called by social welfare. And he went in his truck, and the mother had left these four children about 4 months earlier. And it's very hard to condemn a mother doing that when you see the desperate state. She probably just felt, there's nothing I can do. If I go, somebody else will help. And they lived in that thatched hutch and it was just filthy. And I mean, I wouldn't put my dog in that. I wouldn't keep my dog in that. And these kids were living there. One of them, we haven't got a picture of the other one because one of them was naked. So we just brought them to the village, and they're just, their older brother is about 11, and he just bore the responsibility of looking after his siblings. And the relief that has come off his shoulders is incredible, knowing that they get fed and they get loved and they don't have to go scouring for something to eat. So the situation, sadly, with this inflation, that we're in free fall, it's getting worse, and that's why we want to build more and more houses. So this is our halfway house. For all the years that I've been doing this, every time I go to churches, I get asked, what are you going to do when they come to 18? And I keep saying, well, I don't know, but God will have a plan. And this was his plan. We got given a gift to buy a house in town. Because when you're 18, you're told to leave. The kids have to leave the institutions. Well, who's ready at 18 to just leave? Where do you go? What do you do? It's just terrible. So we've got this house, and the next picture you'll see. On the right, there's our lovely matron, and there's our auntie, and these are the four girls so far in the house. And our aim is we are going to train these girls and the boys when they come. We're going to give them a skill and create work or find work or something. So we've got Loveness. She's in the black T-shirt. She's just done a 6 months Red Nurse, Red Cross training course, and she wants to do nursing. So we're hoping to get her into nursing. We're just waiting for her certificate. Please pray that she would get a place in nursing, because everybody wants a place in nursing because it's a ticket out of the country. So pray that she would get a place supernaturally, quickly, please. On the right-hand side, Sibeki Temba, she is trained. She's got a diploma in social work, so she's looking for a job. She might carry on to do a degree. At the back, there's some beads, and she's doing a bead-making course. If anybody wanted to have some beads and put a donation in, that would go towards that project. Earrings and necklaces, because it's a fantastic course to help youngsters just try and earn a bit of pocket money for themselves. So, but she's looking for a job in the area of social work. Then Melonia in the red, she's just graduated from her 3 months at agricultural, this Christian agricultural project, which is fantastic. And we're pretty sure she'll be invited to stay for 2 years because she's done so well. And then maybe she can come back to Harvest Family Village and run our agriculture. But we just need to train them. And then Dudu is just retaking her O-levels. So we've got to get our kids equipped. We're looking at all the college courses, everything available. Next year, we've got 5 of our Form 4s writing. This year, our school year is January to January. Please pray for our Form 4s who are writing. And pray that we'll know. They'll move to this house and then we'll find courses for them to do. We need to make employable young people. We have to. We have to make them employable. That's really, really crucial. Thank you. So please pray. Pray for our children that they would get closer to Jesus day by day. As I've said, that is the be-all and end-all. We need them to have a relationship with Jesus. Because, yeah, we can feed them. Yeah, we can get them jobs. But unless they know Jesus, that's what we need. And many of ours have made commitments and we've had baptisms and we are seeing encouraging things. But pray that they would get deeper into their relationship with Jesus. Pray for our staff to have the spiritual, emotional and physical strength. We've got a social worker, Maggie. She stays in my house. She has to go to court. She hears the most appalling things. And she has to go and see the most appalling things. Just pray that God would just bless her and our staff as they're dealing with the kids and the pressures. Please pray for a good rainy season. I always say to people, when it rains here, pray for rain in Zimbabwe, then we'll get loads. So if you could pray whenever it rains, say, Lord, send it to Zimbabwe, we'd be very grateful. I would ask that you would pray for me. Since last June last year, they told me I've got a week to get out of the country because there was an issue with my residency. So you can imagine that didn't go too well with my kids. So please pray. I'm still there by the grace of God. I just laugh because nearly everybody's trying to get out of the country. I'm about the only one that wants to stay. I feel like saying to them, but don't you realise I'm the only one that wants to be here? So please pray that through a miracle, God would get me my residence permit, because I really don't want to have to leave. I don't want to leave all the children, but I particularly don't want to leave my three, because my Mary is very, she's emotionally damaged and she needs a mum. The other two would be fine, but Mary really needs me. So please pray for that. And please pray, I would ask for prayer for the stress. It's incredibly stressful. I have polymyalgia rheumatica and stress just exacerbates it. And just as the pressure intensifies, the stress goes up. Please pray that I would find ways of dealing with the stress along with the other stuff. Thank you. Sorry, I'm nearly done. So can I ask you to consider joining in the Christmas challenge. Now, you already give so generously, and I'm thankful. So I feel awful coming and saying, right, I want your money. But this isn't extra money. This is just diverted money. Instead of buying a Christmas gift for your friends and family, you can buy them a chicken. But we get the chicken. They don't, which I'm sure they're very happy about. So what they get is, instead of them getting a chicken, they get a card. You send them a card and it says two, you write their name and it says Happy Christmas. This year, instead of buying you a Christmas gift, I bought you a gift on your behalf to help children in Zimbabwe who have been orphaned or abandoned. Your gift will buy a chicken to produce eggs for our children. Okay? So you send them. So for £5, you could buy us a chicken, which will buy the chicken and some feed. And then you could buy us, for £5, you could buy us, for £10, you could buy us some seeds so we can keep growing our own food. £15 will feed one of our children for a week. £20 will help us educate our children. £35 will buy us a goat. You could even name it. We had somebody bought loads of goats a few years ago and sent name tags. So, whatever. Or a gift of any amount over £5, and you can just have a card saying your gift has gone. So please think about joining the Christmas challenge. The next one, please. And then these are some of our community children that we sponsor. We've got 7 children that we sponsor. So the Christmas challenge education will also go to help them. The next one, please. And then we've got 10 new. We haven't got them all there, but 10 of our newest ones we need sponsorships for. In some ways, it's easier to raise money for specific projects, like for a greenhouse, even the house. But for the day-to-day living and salaries, that's when it's a challenge to raise money. And the sponsorship program helps us to raise money. It costs us £210 to look after a child for a month. So we ask people, would you pay for one day? That's £7 a month. And the reason I do that is because the places I come and talk to, like here, you're already giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. So I'm not asking for pay £210 a month because it's too much. But I'm saying, could you do £7 a month and pay for a day? So if that's something you could do, you fill in this tear-off slip, you send it to our administrator, and she will send you a profile of your child. And then you'll have some photographs sometimes in the year. We're a bit bad on admin because there's not many of us, so we do our best. But we try and send you a picture once a year and some information on your child. So here on this leaflet are our 10 children that need sponsorship. So if that's something you could do, I've left loads of leaflets and I'm not carrying them home with me. So I want you to take them out and about to the streets, to the anywhere you go. Just take these leaflets and hand them out, please. Because you never know anyone could pick them up and help us to sponsor. So thank you. The last one. Thank you, Boreham Wood. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your monthly income, which is such a blessing. Thank you for your prayers and your love. It's so lovely. I walk in and Pam greets me and says, oh, we pray for you, Jenny. You know, it just touches my heart. We need prayer support. We need people who stand with us. I'm not very good at prayer letters, as Pam reminded me that I could perhaps do a few more. Where is she? Where is Pam? Oh, she's gone. Okay. Oh, that's good. I didn't talk about her and she's not here. She said, yes, you could do with a few more, but you get so wrapped up in the work and the chaos that. But thank you, church. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know if anybody's got any questions. I don't know if there's time for questions.